Get Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast catch-up at triplem.com.au.
Oh, hello, good morning. How was your weekend, Roo?
Very good weekend, thank you, Dits. Apart from the crows, it was a good Mother's Day and beautiful weather and, yeah.
What did you do for Mother's Day?
Got up and got the kids breakfast.
Yeah.
Left the wife in bed. The kids made a toast in bed and then we had a game of footy at 8:30, 9:30 and 10:40.
Oh, gee.
All right, finished, right-o. Got home about 12:45 and then just took it easy around the house and had lunch and tea at home with the folks. So it was
I read a good article about that over the weekend. Susie O'Brien said, you know, it's Mother's Day when I'm in bed and I can smell burnt toast. The kids cook breakfast for one time in the year and they absolutely
fight over the toaster.
Yeah, but it's beautiful. The kids come in.
I'll put the peanut butter on.
That's right.
I want banana on.
What about the footy? How do you pick a winner? Seriously, North Melbourne beat your mob last week, then lose to Sydney this week.
Yep.
Fremantle go to Melbourne, beat Richmond. It was the last kick. I mean, these results are just amazing.
Yeah.
And of course, Melbourne, 41-point winners over the Crows. We'll get you to tell us about that later on this morning.
But yeah, I've never seen a season like it. It's impossible. It's that even. I mean, you've got the top nine sides separated by one win, and then you've still got Sydney and Hawthorn and North Melbourne and those sides right down the
looming.
Bottom. So anything could happen this year.
So 2 weeks ago, we were all saying Crows are premiership favourites or one of.
Yep.
Right now, who would win the flag?
Well, you couldn't back the Crows as favourites right now. It's very even. I don't think anyone can predict what's going to happen, and that's what the AFL want with the draft and salary cap.
Yep, no, amazing stuff.
So it's a good competition. It's unpredictable, and there's a lot of frustrated and happy fans, depending on who you barrack for.
Yeah. Hey, some big, big things to talk about today, Roo. Every time I hear the word cyber, I've got no idea what's going on. I don't understand it. But over the weekend, potentially, a very, very dangerous situation that affected, I think, about 100 countries and medical records, hospitals shut down, all sorts of things. And I don't know, we don't know if it's related to terrorism or not, but frightening stuff.
Well, we better get an expert on, Trevor Long, who does that for us on the odd occasion. He'll come and let us know how much danger the world is in there. As you said, is it terrorism? Is it just crooks trying to make a dollar? There's plenty of stuff to talk about there. Bruce Abernethy, he's over in China as well. We'll find out just how successful it was. It looked fantastic on TV and a huge success for Port Adelaide. Mick Molloy will be there later on as well. He'd be shattered after Tigers got knocked off after the siren.
So they've lost three in a row now after they were looking pretty good. All right, we're off and running on this Monday morning. It's Ruined Dits here on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Righto, what's making news around the world and locally, Roo? Now, we've heard from Cassie Sainsbury over the weekend.
Yeah, she's had a bit of a chat, but just interesting how there's a split there now with the boyfriend who've signed with Channel 7 and the mother and sister who's signed with Channel 9.
Mm.
You'd think they'd be all on the same page, wouldn't you?
Yep. Now, she spoke to a reporter over the weekend. Now, Mel, the button pusher, can you help me out here? Was it who she speak to? Was it News Limited or Fairfax?
News Limited.
News Limited, okay. So we need to credit them. So News Limited she spoke to over the weekend.
Hey, so your mum and sister have arrived. Are you looking forward to seeing them?
Yeah, that'd be good. I'm more looking forward to Scott arriving.
So what's it like in there?
It's not nice.
No, the food's horrible. And I'm having lots of issues with the doctors here and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's not nice. And being a foreigner, it doesn't help the situation either. And it's even harder when I don't speak the language.
So Sarah Blake's the reporter there. Sorry, apologies for that from News Limited. Now, she sounds very, very calm, Roo.
Yeah, she does. She doesn't sound like she's looking forward to seeing her mother and sister, more so her fiancé. But, there's obviously a real split there. And I just wonder whether it's talking to anyone's a good idea at the moment, whether it's going to affect her case or not. And, I guess that's what potentially why she's a bit annoyed with her sister and her mother.
Don't upset the locals anymore.
Can you? You've got to get your sentence, whatever that might be, get your best result possible. You're always going to be able to sell your story at some point, you would think.
Yeah. Now, reading the article over the weekend, she was complaining about getting red meat. She said it looks like offal. She said, I want vegetarian meals. Now, I don't know, Cassie, look, just just a word from me. This isn't the Hilton.
Yeah. This isn't your holiday. Your holiday's over.
I think it was Mick Malloy said last week, there won't be a chocolate on your pillow at night either. I mean, this is, we're talking a Colombian jail here, love. Yeah. I think.
I'd just be happy to be surviving and not getting anything bad happen while you're inside. I wouldn't be whinging about food.
No, let's move on. Something that's close to us, Roo, and very important next summer, the Ashes. Do you see where our cricketers could possibly strike?
Yeah.
And James Sutherland over this is all over a pay dispute. James Sutherland, the CEO of Cricket Australia, over the weekend sent them an email saying, "Look, you've got until such and such a time. You know, sign your forms, get them back, or don't play."
It's always a scare tactic, isn't it? The strike, and very, very rarely happens. It has happened in some
United States. It's happened a lot.
It's happened over there, but surely both parties know what the right figure is and can just get to somewhere close to it. Mm. I don't like the talk of it. It sounds greedy from both sides. And you'd like to think that the players are going to get their fair share, but also the clubs and the associations or whatever got to get their fair share to run the competition and grow it and look at game development and stuff like that. So it doesn't come across well from a player's point of view, though, does it, when they talk about strike, when they're on big money already. But you got to make sure that you can't just think of Steve Smith getting paid $2 million and think they're all on that, because a lot of the blokes would be on a lot less than that and just getting enough to scrape through for travelling around the world. So it's a balance, and we've had it in footy at the moment. That's still not even done yet.
Very sad state of affairs, though. Imagine if our cricketers missed the Ashes.
Oh, it won't happen, Dits. It can't happen.
Pretty sure?
Absolutely. I'd be shocked if it does, but that's why it's a good scare tactic to strike for the Ashes.
Yeah, all right.
In terms of making sure they get the deal done.
All right. I mentioned at the top of the show this cyber issue. Roo, do you worry? I certainly do. Every time I pay a bill online, or I do all my banking online these days, because I just don't know enough about it, it's always in the back of my mind that something could go awry here.
Mm, absolutely. I think everyone moving into that space worries about it, but I guess people like you and me who aren't really that clever online think that there's other smarter people that have already checked it out for us.
You'd hope
just
so.
Do it. But what they have over the weekend, how many people were affected? 100 countries by hackers who got into information that could be just detrimental to a large part of the world.
Mm.
It's a worry, but that's the age we live in. I don't know what you can do about it. You can't really. Well, most people can't do anything about it.
No, we can't. Wouldn't know where to start. All right, let's
pull your money out the bank and put it under your mattress again.
There you go.
Let's do that. Go back there.
Yeah, like old Mama and Papa did. Mattress full of 50s and 100s. Yeah. All right, that's our advice this morning. There you go. Everyone's sorted
stick to
now.
Something we know.
Right. All right. Ruined Tits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M. 7 degrees outside. It'll be 21 today and sunny. Beautiful.
We are getting a good dose of sun at the moment. Mm. The farmers are screaming for some rain, Dits, but we're all happy sitting up here getting a bit of sun on the backs before winter.
Now, mini slump. 2 weeks in a row.
Yep.
10 goals North Melbourne kicked in the first quarter, and then Melbourne the other night, 9 goals in a row unanswered.
Yeah, they sure did.
What's the problem, Roo?
There's a few problems at the moment. In the first quarter, they just missed shots on goal that they should have kicked, and that puts scoreboard pressure on and can change a game, but they missed those, so that's the way it goes. And then in the start of the second quarter, Melbourne didn't come out to play, and for about 10 or 15 minutes, it looked like the Crows were just going to dominate and go on with it and win the game comfortably. But then they tidied up their game, got some easy goals before half-time, and all of a sudden going into half-time, it was a bit closer. And you think, at that point, you think, oh, the Crows will come out after half-time and get it back on their terms and they'll win the game. But after half-time, the Crows did not fire a shot at all. And this is the worrying thing for me, that the same thing happened against North Melbourne. They couldn't fight their way back into the game, really. They managed to get a few points back on North Melbourne, but not a lot. And against Melbourne, it was almost like they had nothing to offer. They looked slow. They couldn't win their fair share of the ball. And I think it's a bit of a concern at the moment. They look a bit tired and a bit out of sorts at the moment. In the middle part of the ground, they just got beaten up by a better midfield. They got
tackling
pressured.
Tackling was ferocious, wasn't it?
Yeah, tackling was awesome. Look, Melbourne played their best game for probably years.
Yep.
So let's not. Melbourne don't play like that every week. That was their best performance for a long time. Melbourne have only been playing two and a half quarters, three quarters of good footy a week for the first seven rounds of the season, but they played 3.5 very good quarters of football on the weekend, and that's why they beat the Crows by 40 points. But the Crows need to toughen up a little bit about the middle. There's a lot of talk about Rory Sloan. Well, Rory Sloan's getting tagged. That's what happens to good players every now and then. When you're the Brownlow Medal favourite or you're a very good footballer, you are going to get tagged. And a lot of the midfielders in the competition have had a too good a run for a long time not getting tagged. So they're starting to find out how hard it is like that. Now, you should get a little bit of support from your teammates, no doubt about it, but you have to fight that yourself as well, more than anyone. You don't get any free runs from your teammates when you get tagged. So Sloaney just has to work through that, and that's the difference between being a really top-end midfielder and a good midfielder.
I mean, they got so much service. I mean, Sauce Jacobs got 70-odd hit-outs.
Yeah, 70-odd hit-outs. And one thing, when you know you're not going to win the ruck, and this has happened to Sandilands for years, Dits, everyone knows Sandilands going to win the tap, so they all set up for Sandilands to win the tap. So all three other midfielders from the opposition just start behind their midfielder and just wait for the ball to get down there. And it's just like playing three taggers in the middle, and it's a lot easier to read it. And the last 3 weeks, Melbourne, when they haven't had Max Gorn, they've won the clearances in all 3 weeks. So you can mount a case to just say to do that every week. Just assume that's going to happen and bank on the opposition getting it. It's a lot easier to do it than what it sounds. The trouble is when you think you might win it and you're set up to win it and you don't hit it, then you're out of position, if that makes sense. But Crows are having a slump. Geelong are having a slump. GWS just fell in. A lot of the top sides for the first 4 or 5 weeks are not top sides anymore. So it's it's an interesting season. Maybe how fit you are going into the season, or our side's having some physical slumps for a couple of weeks around this time of the year. It's hard to tell who the best sides are at the moment. One thing is for sure, if the Crows get shut down in their midfield, then their free-flowing ball use doesn't come into the play, and their forwards don't get the smooth delivery that they've been having and don't look like the same players.
I just want to look forward to a couple of weeks. So you play Brisbane away this week, so you'd suggest that you'd win that game. Then it's Fremantle here, and you know for a fact that Ross Lyon will coach similar to the way Melbourne played you the other night.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that they can't even look at Freo yet. They've got to beat Brisbane first, because Brisbane can always be in a challenge. We saw a lot of sides go up there and get beaten, so they've just got to do that first. So they've just got to get back to being a bit tougher in the midfield and all over the ground. I said the forwards don't look like the same players. Defence don't look like the same players either when the ball comes straight out of the middle down to the back line. They looked a bit ordinary on the weekend as well.
All right, Port Adelaide yesterday got the job done and did it very, very well.
Yeah, they never looked like losing. Port are back to their best. There's no doubt about that. I've been saying that for most of the year. I think they're one of the best sides in the competition at the moment. They've got no weak spots. They're running really hard. They're using the ball well. They're pressuring the opposition. They've got good tools, good smalls. They're a complete side. At the moment, they're fully fit, which is a big plus as well. Dixon's improved a lot. Boak was back to his best on the weekend. That was the best game I've seen him play this year. Westhoff is starting to get his hands on the ball a little bit
more. Goal of the year.
That was a brilliant shot from the boundary line. Wingard, now that he can play in the midfield, is becoming a lot more dangerous player as well. He's getting 20 or 30 touches a game now, so he's gone to another level. Robbie Gray just looks super dangerous in the forward line. They'll have a week off now, Port Adelaide, and they're going to really push for a top spot on the ladder. They've got the best percentage in the comp by a mile, and they're going to be one game behind the others for a few weeks because they're having only them and Gold Coast have this week off. But don't be surprised to see them on top of the ladder soon, Port Adelaide, the way they're going about it. Their game back is against Geelong Thursday week, and Geelong played their worst game for several years. Some people described it, looking at their game, as like they were protesting against something. They had 15 tackles in a half of football.
Got to be kidding.
Against Essendon.
You're joking.
On the weekend. They were atrocious.
Wow.
So they get them at a good time, Port Adelaide. So they might just continue on their merry way, the power. And it's going to be a great turnaround because they're, last year at the end of the year, or even during the year, Port were on the ropes a bit. There was a lot of bickering and fighting inside, outside. A lot of Port supporters demanding of their club to improve. they've done it, and they've done it very, very well. So a lot of credit needs to go to them at the moment.
There you go. Something's wrong. Roo being nice to Port Adelaide this morning.
You've got to call it as you see it.
Let's call it a quits right there. Let's move on.
Triple M.
Roo and Ditz for breakfast on this, I was going to say Monday morning, but I better say Monday morning.
Yes.
If I say Monday, you'll get a bit twitchy,
what
I think.
What is it?
Oh, because Dave Mundy kicked the goal.
Oh.
So it's Monday morning.
Hello,
Mick. There you
You're
go.
You're an evil man.
Oh,
you made a very powerful enemy, my friend. I will get you. Oh, look, he's coming off a big win in China.
Yeah.
Gee, the China crowd were pumped, weren't they?
We win. We don't only
win
in Australia.
Electric atmosphere over there.
We win internationally now.
Oh, right?
Did you see
at the start of the game, instead of playing the Australian anthem, they actually played the Port theme song?
Yep. Yeah. So we've taken
they did that on purpose.
That should have been our song at Eurovision. How would that have gone?
Yeah.
Hey, where do we finish at Eurovision?
Only about 20th.
No, 9th.
Nice.
That's a bit familiar for me. I go, it must be me every time I back something.
Yeah.
And 9th it is. So anyway, Adelaide wheels have fallen off.
How did your big Mother's Day go? You took your mum to the MCG for dinner, didn't you, for lunch?
Well, no, I didn't. I was going to go. Take her to see the game, but in the end I had to work. So I didn't know anything about what had happened to Richmond. I had to go do some recording until my phone started blowing up. At about 4:40, I went, oh no, something terrible's happened. Because no one calls me when we win, and all my mates, if it doesn't, it all unfolded pretty quickly.
So you left your poor old mum to herself, did you?
No, I didn't. I dropped around. I dropped off my washing. she was really milking it. It really annoyed me. Pipe down, every day's Mother's Day.
Yeah.
That's right. Quite frankly, you know, I could have been anything if I'd had a mother that loved me.
Oh,
I'm not joking. No, Rosemary West was a better mother than my mother.
She's just Rosemary West.
You know what I'm saying? Do you know what I found out once? And I mean this. I found out that she ironed my brother's underpants and she didn't iron mine.
Oh,
I'm not joking.
No.
I said, why do you do that? She goes, oh, well, his is boxers and yours briefs. I go, you're splitting hairs. You know.
Yeah, correct.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was nice touch by the Richmond players putting their mum's names on their jumpers yesterday. I thought that was a good touch.
Well, that's so weird.
Didn't mean much in the end.
To wash. You know what I mean? That goes back to, when you're a kid.
Yeah.
And it was all knocking around.
How did
Cassie Sainsbury didn't do anything for her mum.
No, he wouldn't even let her in.
What a selfish mole. Sitting over there, her mum's made all that effort to come and see her, and she just couldn't care less. That's heating up over there.
I'd be getting close to my mum if she sold the story for $1 million.
But how's the jockeying for position? So Channel 9, a rumour is $1 million to the mum and the sister. They haven't lifted a finger to get over there. All of a sudden, 4 weeks in, they're over there with the Channel 9 crew.
Yeah.
She's pissed off and knows that if she speaks to them, it's going to be big TV, so she's refusing. Signed up her boyfriend, who signed with Sunday Night on Channel 7, and now she's going to give him the interview. And all we need is Tara Brown to turn up, and this thing's up and running. This thing is away.
We need a little kidnapping in there, just to liven this story up.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? I think your mum was a bit out of line, already renting Cassie's room out on Airbnb. Don't you reckon? What do you boys do for Mother's Day? What do you do?
Oh, I had 3 games of footy and then cooked mum lunch after that, Mick. We had a pretty quiet afternoon, watched a bit of footy and, too much, mate. Had breakfast in bed, got the kids to cook Sarah breakfast in bed. So.
And I just watched Port Adelaide win another game. That's what I did.
Over there, no beer. Imagine going all the way to China, getting into the ground, queuing up. No beer.
Yeah, that was what the cheer squad sang, the pub with no beer. That's what they were singing.
Wow.
Yeah.
A long way to go to leave at 3/4 time, too, if you're a Gold Coast fan.
How was Eddie? Was he all right with Stevie J kicking a goal? Just
flat as a tack. Couldn't have had a better morning.
What about you've had all 3 lost with Darce.
Darce
whinging
about the umpires.
Didn't they get the free kicks?
No, they didn't get the free kicks. They're gone. They're cooked. Tigers will regroup. Be a Tiger Port grand final.
Hey, can we play it at the Adelaide Oval like last time?
Oh,
please.
Adelaide Oval. I love it.
Wish I could live there. Good on you, Mick. We'll talk
good
again
on you guys.
Thursday morning.
You will.
Cheers,
boys.
That's the cure for not having to watch Richmond, isn't it? Lose all the time. Just don't go.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah. They were dead stiff, the old Tigers.
Yeah, they fought back because they were down. They were well down. They fought back, but just didn't quite get there.
Old Dockers, eh?
Yeah, Ruin Dits for Breakfast on Triple M.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Now, over the weekend, Roo, this has been labelled a ransomware cyber attack. It's affected 150 countries, hundreds of thousands of people. We're learning this morning that Australian companies are involved. Now, banks, financial institutions, hospitals, medical records, all sorts of things have been scrambled from what we can gather. But I know nothing about this. I don't know about you. But when we talk cyberspace and cyber attacks, I've got no idea.
Yep.
So let's go to our technical expert, Trevor Long. Trevor, good morning. What does this all mean?
Good morning, Ken. This is huge. And it's been a long time coming, I've got to be honest. And firstly, I need to explain to you what ransomware is, obviously.
Yeah.
The idea is that your entire computer is held to ransom. So what happens is you get this little virus, and it actually it encrypts. So it turns all of your files into files that you can't read. Mm. And it's impossible to find a program that will open them. And the way to open them, theoretically, is to pay the ransom. So it's literally holding your computer to ransom, and the ransom might be as little as $400. It might be as big as many thousands. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, when you affect, you know, hundreds of thousands of computers around the world, there's a potential for these blokes to make a lot of money and to, you know, disrupt business, let alone individuals at home.
Are people paying the ransom at the moment, or is everyone holding firm, or what's happened so far, do you know?
Sadly, from my point of view, there are plenty of reports of people paying the ransom, though not as much as you'd think. So, you know, on the weekend, before it had kind of escalated to about 200,000, but on the weekend they were saying they'd made about 30 grand, and I reckon that's a pretty pretty poor outcome for someone that's been able to infect hundreds of thousands of people. But I guess still 30 grand for pressing a button on a computer isn't a bad deal. But yeah, I mean, the problem is, if you pay the ransom, you're actually no guarantee they're going to release your files to you. So the whole don't negotiate with terrorists thing.
Hmm. Now, you mentioned terrorists. My first thoughts over the weekend, it's affecting Russia, Great Britain, some of the big countries in the world. Is there any chance that this is linked to terrorism or might be in future?
At this stage, no, not this one. But I'm with you. I see this now as being an exposed vulnerability of society. And so everyone's going to be looking at this going, oh, hang on a minute, we could cripple the nation. We could cripple, you know, huge areas of government if we hit the right people at the right time in the right way. So what's going to happen here is you're going to have today, literally Monday morning, you're going to have the IT managers of companies around the world going, see, I told you we needed to do this upgrade. Mm-hmm. And the bosses are now going to say, yep, do whatever you need to do. Because you know what an upgrade means? It means your computers won't work for a few hours. It means it's probably going to cost a bit of money. And most companies go, yeah, it's fine. Windows is fine. Don't worry about the upgrade. Well, there's your reason, folks. That's why you have to do it.
But the whole British healthcare system was thrown into chaos, wasn't it? So you can see what potential it has got for countries.
It does, and this is, again, the biggest problem. Governments are often the slowest to upgrade their computer systems, not because they're lazy, but because they have such mission-critical software. So the computer that you enter in your health information, for example, in the UK, that they don't want to risk just rolling out this little update that Microsoft ran because it might actually cripple their software. And so it's catch-22 for them. But unfortunately, the catch is now 100% in the case of you've got to upgrade your computer. There is no more questions to be asked.
Now that you've explained, Trevor, what ransomware is, I can tell you this has actually happened to a family member of mine. And this is a couple of years ago. So this must have been happening for a while. Yeah, they did. Someone rang them at home on their home phone line and got them to do something on their computer. They pretended to be some type of salesperson. And then whilst this was happening, all of a sudden, they then changed their tone and said, right, I've now just locked you out of your own computer. You need to pay me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this happened. I don't want to name
it. And that was
person.
One of the early forms of this was, and it still is around, to be clear, people should be very aware that, you know, and they purport to be companies, and I should be very clear, they're not, like Telstra and Windows and Microsoft. And they ring up saying they're from these companies, and you have this trust because I'm telling people, don't trust, you know, links and emails and things, but you've also got to not trust people who ring you on the phone. So they're literally attacking from every area, and it's as crippling as it is. Your best defense is to have a backup. So So especially for home users that we're talking to today, if you've got a backup of all your photos and your videos and your documents, then when they do encrypt your computer or when they've got you on the phone, you say, you know, well, mate, big middle finger to you, I've got a backup. And you just wipe your computer.
Now, sorry to be so dumb here, but where do I back this up? On the same computer or somewhere else?
Yeah, look, you should get an external hard drive. At the simplest way is to go to Officeworks or JB and get an external hard drive, plug it in, and just move all your photos and data over there and put it, unplug it from your computer and just put it in a drawer. And do that every week if you can. Worst case, if you're a bit more savvy, you might use the cloud, so it's constantly backing up your computer onto the internet.
Bloody hell, hard drives, clouds. This is a whole new conversation another day, Trevor. Anyway, thanks for coming on and explaining it.
We'll help you out.
Good on you, Trevor, our technical expert. Bloody clouds, Rue. What are we talking about?
It's sunny.
There's no cloud today. Good.
That sounds dangerous, though, doesn't it?
It's a bit scary, isn't it?
That's the way the world's going to go.
Yep.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Time for our Monday phone-in, Rue, where our listeners can ring in and... talk about anything that might have happened to them over the weekend. 133353. Let's go to our first caller. Hello, good morning.
Hey, good day. It's Murray on the Murray here. Hey, Murray,
how you going?
Yeah, I'm up here at Bury. We were just having a couple of beers with the boys last night, you know. We're just wondering.
Yeah.
I'm not ringing up for an argument or anything, but they played in China.
Yeah.
They played in China. Where are they going to play next year? I mean, if we played a game in America, they played a game over in London back in 1990, Collingwood. Where's it going to be next year?
India?
Yeah.
Well, you know, why not, I suppose.
Yeah.
We're talking to the furnace. We call him the furnace because when it's his shout, he goes out. But
right.
The furnace said he reckons I could even play a game on the moon.
Oh, right. That'd be different. Yeah.
Yeah. But we said it wouldn't work. You want to know why?
Why?
No atmosphere.
I thought so, yeah.
Good
idea. All right. Well, thanks, Murray. We like it. Let's go
to our next caller.
Here's our next caller. Hello, good morning.
G'day, boys.
Who's that?
That's Tex.
Oh, Tex.
How are you, Tex?
Yeah, on a good weekend. Yeah,
not that good. I don't know what happened. What's happening to footy this season? I don't know.
Yeah. It's not good, is it?
You're the captain.
Geelong lost 3. We've lost 2. Mm. Richmond 3.
Yeah.
Didn't help play against Bernie, like he's my mate. So.
Yeah. That would have been tough. You
know, I saw him on the field and I said, Bernie.
Yeah.
He said, what are you doing? I said, I don't know.
Mm.
Yeah, it's not easy playing against your mate, but at least one good thing.
What?
Still on top of the ladder.
Yeah, you are, that's right.
Unbelievable.
Still on top, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
This Australian, American, and an Englishman.
Yeah.
An Irishman, a German. And an Indian, Norwegian, Singaporean, and an Italian.
Yeah.
And a bloke from Alaska.
Right.
Trying to walk into a bar.
Yeah.
Mm.
The bloke on security says, boy, sorry, I can't let you in.
Why?
He said, can't let you in. You haven't got a tie.
Right, I like it, Tex. Good one. Right, thanks. We've got time for one more call. Hello, good morning.
Hello, little boy. Hello, Ben.
I thought you'd ring in, Tommy. How are you?
Oh, I'm so excited. I couldn't believe the game yesterday. I watched a whole game. It's so exciting to see my home country, you know, see Aussie, because I call myself Australian. But, you know, did you see up one end? At the second quarter, my cousin, way too young, was in the crowd.
way too young. Yeah, we saw him, yeah.
Yeah, they were kicking towards the Beijing end, yeah. And way too, I look, he waved, and he waved again.
Yeah.
And then he ran down the other end when they're kicking towards the Great Wall end.
Yeah.
When he was there again. Did you see him run through the crowd?
Yeah.
That was way too young.
He's very quick, way too young.
Oh, do you think they'd play another game at China? If they do, Tommy like to do catering because crowd's not that big. I could do that easy.
Yeah,
I think they took their own food over there for that reason, Tommy.
Anyway, boy, you celebrate. You come down to Goodyear Street today. I'm operating the new Jet Imperial Gordon Moondragon Rickshaw in down there, Goodyear Street. Member of Crowa Chinese Restaurant Owners Association. You come down all above board.
Okay, all above board.
Good work, Tommy.
All right, thanks, Tommy. There you go. That's we're running out of time for our calls, but some good calls this morning,
Yeah, very good. Always good on a Monday.
Tech sounded down, didn't he?
Oh, he's down, all right.
Yeah, we'll get him to come in tomorrow, Tex Walker, and tell us exactly what happened.
If he's earned his money as captain now.
Yeah, it's Ruined Dits for Breakfast on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast
104.7 Triple M.
Over the last couple of weeks, we've had a bit of fun with the rub, the Saturday rub on Triple M.
Yeah, the boys have got a box full of tapes of Brian Taylor in his early days on radio, and they've gone through and found a couple of his classic interviews. We've had George Foreman and Nadia Comaneci, the gymnast, and they've just delved into another one on the weekend.
At the end of all the interviews, Bristol then asked every one of the people he interviewed to give a nice little personal sort of hi.
Sign
this
off.
Is, yeah.
Yep. Yep.
What we've done is we've broken them down to our four favourite ones, starting with the fastest world record holding freestyler of the time, Tom Jager, the big American.
Oh.
Can you just do me one little favour? Can you just do a promo so we can advertise this interview? Just say, hi, I'm Tom Jager. I'm the fastest swimmer on earth, and you're listening to Brian Taylor on 3UZ.
Okay, let me write that down so that when I get to it.
Yeah, okay. So I'm the fastest swimmer on earth, and you're listening to Brian Taylor on 3UZ.
3UZ.
That's it. Anytime you're ready.
Okay. Hi, I'm Tom Jager, fastest swimmer in the world, and you're listening to Brian Taylor on 3UZ.
Sensational. Good stuff. Okay, best of luck.
Yep, you too.
Tom Jager for a start. So the name, called him by the wrong name. So that's, of course, the fastest swimmer in the world. We then go to Thomas the Hitman Hearns, part of the greatest middleweight sort of 10-year period of all time. Of course, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, Sugar Ray Leonard. These were the biggest names in sport at the time. Here we go with the Hitman and Bristol.
Just say something like this. Hi, this is Thomas the Hitman Hearns. Stay tuned to Brian Taylor and 3UZ for all your boxing news.
Hi, this is Thomas Hearns. Oh, just a tape, not all.
Yeah, take as many goes as you like, mate.
No, I'm saying hi, this is Thomas Hearns. Stay tuned for Brian Taylor and 3UZ, right?
That's it, spot on.
Wait, no, not yet. Wait.
Okay.
Hi. Well, I'm trying to get it all together. Make sure I got it together. Hi, this is Thomas Hearn. With Brian Taylor. Stay tuned. Wait. With Brian Taylor, right?
Yeah.
Stay tuned for 3UZ.
That's right. So, hi, this is Thomas Hearns.
Say it again.
Hi, this is Thomas Hearns. For all your boxing news, stay tuned to Brian Taylor and 3UZ.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Thomas Hearns. For all your boxing news, stay tuned for Brian Taylor and 3UZ.
That's fantastic, Thomas. The best of luck against Virgil, and we really appreciate your time. You've been very kind to us.
Thank you.
Oh, big Tommy.
What about the, this is Brian Taylor. This is Brian Taylor.
All right, we go from there. These are, Damo, the biggest names in world sport are all one-on-one with our man, Bristol. Carl Lewis.
No.
Arguably the greatest Olympian
of all time. My
favourite
athlete still to this day.
Of all time, Carl Lewis is speaking to Bristol.
Okay. Carl, can you just do... That's the end of the interview. Thanks for that. We really appreciate it. And, boy, you've made us all very happy here that you've been able to talk to. And this show does go to most of Australia. It's the only sports radio station in Australia. So we'll make sure that the word gets around.
Great.
Carl, can you just do us a little promo so we can advertise that this interview is coming up? Say something like, I'm Carl Lewis, looking forward to going down under with Brian Taylor.
Oh!
Okay, great. Whenever
you're ready.
Okay. Hi, everybody out there. I'm Carl Lewis, and we're going down under with Brian Taylor.
Okay, and can you just do one other saying, join Brian Taylor for breakfast on 3UZ, or this is Carl Lewis, join Brian Taylor for breakfast on 3UZ.
Hi, everybody, this is Carl Lewis, and join Brian Taylor for breakfast on 3UZ.
Okay, Carl, we really appreciate your time, and please thank...
Glad we worked it out.
Please thank Jay Douglas for us as well.
I sure will.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. That little nervous laugh return there. Oh,
halfway, oh, wow. Halfway through, yeah, when just
the one he gave to Nadia Comaneci.
This show's going all around the show.
I'm the biggest show. I'm the biggest show in Australia. And we'll get your name out there. I'm the fastest man in the world. The whole world knows me. And Brian's going to tell him that he's going to put him all around Australia.
That's the only way we can get him. We told him this was a national broadcast.
This show goes pretty much everywhere in Australia.
just Carlton.
So anyway, we move. The Olympic presence here is extraordinary. Tom Jager, of course, Carl Lewis, and then world champion Hitman Hearns. Then we get to Greg Louganis, of course, the very, very famous gold medal winning diver. Bristol, I just want you to have a listen to how non-committal Greg is to Bristol styling.
Okay, Greg, that was the end of the interview. Really appreciate that. Can you just do a little promo for us so that we can advertise the interview? Just say something like, hi, this is Greg Louganis. Dive in and listen to all the sports news with Brian Taylor on 3UZ. Whenever you're ready, mate.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis.
That's all right.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis. Dive in and listen to Brian Taylor Sports News on 3UZ.
That's perfect, mate. Fantastic.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Not overly wrapped with you, but I didn't think
that
Greg...
didn't go well.
Enough now. Yeah. Go and interview Richo.
What about the real corny dive in with Brian Taylor? I've never heard anything as funny as the last 3 weeks. These interviews. How big's this box?
It's just gold. I don't know. But we actually haven't. I must go in there and see how many there are. I'm sure there's a whole season's worth.
I think there's a few.
A bit of fun on a Saturday afternoon. He's gold, Brian Taylor. And you hear him on the Rush Hour every week. So,
yeah, that's right.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast. 104.7. Triple M.
Roo, how was your Mother's Day yesterday? Or Sarah's Mother's Day?
Yeah, that's more to the point. It's we had a good day, actually. What a perfect weather it was. We got up, we made the kids breakfast. We had to be down at Glenunga at 10 past 8. So we didn't have much time. Didn't have much time to celebrate breakfast. We had a game at 8:30, a game at 9:30 at Goodwood Road, and then a game at 10:40 as well. So the normal were 8:30, 9:30, 10:40. Wow. So Mother's Day really didn't start to kick in until after lunch. And then she had a foot spa and of that at home with a little $20 machine that the kids bought. So.
Beautiful. How did you go, Super Coach? Did you get the girls up?
Girls got up, come from behind, win. The oranges kicked in at half time from Wakery. the girls are going well. And it was a good day. Beautiful day yesterday.
It was.
I feel like I needed some sunscreen on my melon. At about 11 o'clock, and then I got in the car and it was 19 degrees.
That's beautiful. Wasn't that bad? Did you get the rules right this week with the girls? Did you know what was going on?
Yeah, I'm all over it now.
So it's taken 3 weeks to find out the rules are.
The girls are going very well. They're crashing in and the boys are going well. What did you get up to?
Drove down to Goolwa yesterday to see the mother-in-law. Beautiful day. Cracking day.
Where
do
you have lunch or dinner
down
there?
We went to the golf club.
Which one?
By the way, South Lakes, I want to give them a big rap this morning. We had a beautiful lunch.
What sort of lunch do they do down there for Mother's Day?
Like three courses, $30. I had a chicken breast. I had French
Must
onion
be
soup.
Must be volunteers behind the bar.
And then I had chicken breast with beautiful risotto. And then, the dessert was out of this world.
What'd you have for dessert?
Well, I couldn't decide, so I had three different.
No!
Because they were all, I paid a bit.
It was Father's Day, was it?
Apple crumble.
That'd get me.
There was a banana cake sort of thing, gatto cake with ice cream.
All right.
And the other one, what was the other one? Oh, a caramel tart thing. Yeah. What?
Well, you had a bit of each.
Sugar-free, fat-free, gluten-free. No worries. Hey, but $30 for three courses.
So you probably ate Kate's and the mother-in-law.
South Lakes golf course will be flat out tonight. They'll be lining up.
Good stuff. No, it was a beautiful day, and I hope all the mums out there had a great day.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Well done.
Roo, in a moment, there's a show causing a ton of controversy. Many, many people will know about this. It's called 13 Reasons Why. Should our teenage kids be watching this? We'll get to it in just a moment on Triple M.
104.7 Triple M.
There's a TV show on Netflix, Roo. Netflix is all the rage these days. A lot of us are watching. I mean,
6 million TV stuff.
Yeah, correct. 6 million Australian homes have got Netflix, so that's a lot of people when you times it by the people that live in those homes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a show out right now that's causing a lot of concern. Have a listen to this.
Hey, it's Hannah. Hannah Baker. Settle in, because I'm about to tell you the story of my life. More specifically, why my life ended. And if you're listening to this tape, you're one of the reasons why.
Is Hannah telling the truth?
She lied about it on those tapes because she's a crazy drama queen who just killed herself for attention.
Hannah has secrets, Mrs. Baker.
Hannah's secrets are what killed her.
Now, we hear a lot in this day and age, Rue, about the pressure that high school kids are under. And I'm going to make a big, bold statement here, and if I upset people, please ring me and tell me. But we're told that high school girls can get into a lot more strife mentally than boys because of the bitchiness and the competitiveness among girls and what they're wearing, how they look, how fashionable they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think I hear that a lot. Now, as I said, if I'm wrong, I apologise, but and that is a big generalisation. That's kind of what this show is about. So,
how long does this show go for and how much have you watched?
There are 13, I think, episodes because it's called 13 Reasons Why.
Right.
And in the short story is what this girl, she commits suicide in high school, but before she dies, She produces a whole load of audio tapes and she names a different person in each tape. And the reasons, when I say 13 reasons why, one boy at school commented on her haircut. Another boy grabbed her on the backside one day. Another boy produced a list at school of the hot girls in school and he told on the list she had the best ass, for example. And there are all of these pressures that are ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
And what she does is she systematically sends out these audio tapes. She somehow organised that they arrived on your doorstep after she'd passed away and you then listen to these tapes. And it's very creepy and it's very confronting because you were one of the people, you were one of the reasons why she went down this path and committed suicide. Now, let's get to the crux of the matter here. How does it affect us? Well, there's a lot of talk going on around high schools in Adelaide and around Australia. Principals are now sending letters out to parents saying, do not watch this program. This is how much of an
effect. So that's going to make them watch it?
Well, as you know, you tell a teenager not to do something, what do they do?
They watch it.
They do it. Now, I know of a mother here at Triple M who deliberately watched this over the weekend with her 16-year-old daughter, sat on the couch and they watched the whole series. I started watching it last night. I haven't got teenage kids anymore, Roo, but Kate and I were just interested to have a look and it's got me in. I've watched three episodes.
Who's it aimed at, do you think?
I actually believe it is aimed at teenage kids. Because of the way it's made, and it's about very good-looking young girls and hot blokes who play on the school basketball team, the football team. So it's all about kids at school getting on with each other and going to parties and things and the pressure they're under. But my question this morning is it sensible for high school principals and teachers to send letters home or emails home saying, do not watch this?
Mm.
Shouldn't schools actually be watching it right now and saying to kids, this is why we're watching it, and let's now discuss this and let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Surely.
I like the the person you're referring to at the radio, sitting down and watching it together and talking your way through it. Surely that's the best way to do it. And if it's not right while they're watching it, you can always turn it off at that point. But you've got to – I would like to think that if your kid's comfortable to sit and watch it with the parents, that's the best scenario you've got of – trying to talk about the situations that they're worried about, isn't it? Because they are going to watch it. Let's be honest. They're going to watch it at some point. They're going to go to a friend's house. They're going to watch it on their phone. They're going to find somewhere to watch it. We know that. That's what kids do, and that's never going to change. So you might as well try and get the right outcome by talking about it and being open about it and being mature about it.
I think so. Roo, we're encouraged in this job not to talk about suicide, and I think fair enough too. We're told, please don't ever glorify it. You don't want sort of copycat situations out there, and we're very, very sensitive to what goes on, certainly, and mental illness in this day and age, and things like depression. Roo, but I'm happy to say that just in recent times, and it only happened about 3 weeks ago, but we know a young boy that unfortunately went down this path.
Yep.
So therefore it affects a whole school, a whole community, a whole soccer club, and of course many, many, many parents and friends.
Yep.
So therefore when it did happen, I think of course everyone sat down that knew each other and was close to it and talked about it.
Yep.
it's the only way to do it and the only way to face it and confront it, surely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And ask reasons why, what could we have done? And that's what this TV show is actually doing as well. It's saying, well, what could we have done? Or should I have done something different? Should I not have told her that I thought she was pretty? Should I not have talked about her hair? And all of these sorts of issues that come up. And I'm asking the question this morning, is it right for schools to send home letters and say, do not watch this program?
Yep.
I'm interested to know. 133353. And you may be a school principal. You may be a parent. Look, anyone, I'd love everyone to comment on. And,
maybe an 18-year-old.
And teenagers as well, for sure. If you're on your way to school with your parents, please give us a ring and tell us what you think about this. Because I think to tell people to bury their head in the sand is the wrong way to go. 133353.
Ruin dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7:56, Roo, we're talking about this TV show that many, many people are watching. It's called 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah, and we're talking about whether it's good for schools to be able to send home notes and tell them not to be watching it, or Ditz is saying, and I'm agreeing, perhaps you should be watching it with your parents and with your kids. Let's go to Elizabeth North. G'day, Dave.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
What are you thinking about this?
Oh, I think it's totally wrong. I think they should be encouraging it for parents to sit with their kids and watch it, and then they can discuss things that go on in their life, and so parents also have a bit better understanding of the dialect of language that kids talk these days.
How old are you, and what kids have you got, Dave?
Oh, mate, I'm 44, and I've got three kids. My oldest one's 14, who's in high school at a private school.
Yep.
So I did that with him. I asked him if he's watched it, or to sit down and watch it with me, and he's already watched it. So, after that, I sat down and we discussed a few things that go on in life and what was happening in our lives when we were growing up, like yourself, Ru, and it's like we didn't have social media
pressure
back then, and kids just can't get away from it.
Mm. Were you surprised about anything he said to you?
No, it was a lot of things that we grew up with ourselves, but I think more of a shock for him was the fact of easy access to the drugs that you can get your hands on. That's through the schools these days. Mm. So I think for the fact of whether it be your son or daughter going to parties and so forth is to, you know, keep an eye on what you're drinking, and really from a parent's perspective, pour your own drink or get your own drink, and if you turn your back on it, we'll leave it.
Yep.
Walk away.
Yeah, good on you, Dave. Very, very good call. Roo, Dave talks about, and we've mentioned parents sitting and watching this, I'd like to see it as a school project. All right, why not watch it in the class
and sort of debrief,
and have an open
debrief it and chat and have the right sort of person out the front
instead of teacher saying don't watch this. I'd rather the teacher lead the discussion and say let's all watch it. What do you think?
The only problem with that is there might be things you need to discuss that people don't want to discuss in front of other kids potentially, but a lot of it could be right. I mean, if there's personal stuff, it's that might be a bit tricky.
But all right, so we always talk about...
I don't know what's in the show, mind
let's
you. I haven't
say,
seen it.
Hypothetically, let's say you watch the show and you then say to any kid in that room, if anyone's got an issue with what we've talked about this morning or with what you've seen, please come and see me afterwards. Or, you know, there's the school counsellor, go and see that person as well. Yeah. Aren't there messages like that?
Yep, yeah, absolutely. You could do that and also do it with your parents. Let's go to Windsor Gardens. G'day, Damien.
Yeah, g'day, Roo. G'day, Dits. How you going?
Good. Are you got kids?
Yeah. I've got four kids. My daughter, she's 14. She's the youngest. She asked me to watch the show with her. I watched it probably 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yep.
And I thought it was fantastic. It really went in depth with how kids are bullied, not only cyberbullying, but also through verbal bullying, kids getting picked on. And my daughter, she went through it a little bit through like cyberbullying and getting picked on through different avenues. And I thought it was really, really good because she'd open up with me basically on how everything was happening to her. And we can actually, I think we've got a better relationship now with after watching it.
That's good.
And I think she would always, like, if they put up photos on Instagram or Facebook, if she doesn't have 200 likes on a photo, they would get upset. Someone doesn't like it, and if they don't like their friend's photo, their friend would arc up and get upset with them, or if they don't comment on something, it is just absolutely outrageous at the moment, guys. It is crazy, and just with the site, it's all through Facebook, it's all through Instagram, Snapchat, the whole lot. It is really, really bad, and I think it is a really good thing for parents to sit down and watch it with their kids because they can actually understand what the kids are going through these days, and it is It's out of control.
It's different, isn't it?
Yeah, that is
very,
that is
very
pressure.
Different. That's bloody, that's massive pressure.
Good on you, Damien.
And pressure that people like you and me kids have never had to deal with, so you've got to understand it.
Mm.
I need to get my act together, otherwise I'll have no idea. Let's go to Glengarry. Hey, Marnie.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Good Marnie.
Good. I'm actually a teacher librarian at a high school, and first of all, I don't think it is the position of the principal, any principal, to tell parents how to parent. But also, this is a TV show that's based on a book that most is probably in most school libraries. It's by Jay Asher. It's very well known. It was very popular when it came out. So the fact that now, all of a sudden, because it's in a visual medium rather than a book,
has the book got the same name?
All of a sudden, we need to censor it. Yes, it does.
Yep.
Just, I don't believe we should censor it, the TV show or the book. So I don't know why all of a sudden it's come to such scrutiny when it actually teaches a lot of people about the pressures that high school kids are under, and we do see it every day at school, and we deal with social media in the classroom all the time. And I think it's only a good thing, regardless whether it's the book or the TV show, that parents and kids are having that conversation.
Mm.
Yeah, good point.
Marnie, thanks so much for calling in. Rue, just a quick one, and you'll go through this with your daughter, but I didn't have daughters, so going back a few weeks ago, it was school holidays, and I was privy to a conversation of three 13-year-old girls who had to go back to school on the following Monday, and the discussion about what are you wearing and how do you think you'll do your hair. And, of course, me being a bloke, and I've only had sons, I sat there and I didn't get involved. I mean, it's nothing for me. You know, I thought, are they fair dinkum? They have to plan that much and worry that much at 13 about how they're going to look and what they'll be wearing. Now, that won't shock a lot of people listening, but it shocked me. I thought, surely, don't you just get up and go to school?
That's what probably we used to do, yeah, definitely. But it's,
I couldn't believe
girls are definitely different to perhaps boys of our era.
Unbelievable.
It is. It is very different.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting discussion, it really is. And as we always say, look, if there are any issues with you, your family, your best friends, whatever, Lifeline's there. It's 13 11 14. So please call Lifeline 13 11 14. Let's move on, Roo.
Ruined Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
8:12 it is. Now, I've just heard the first live this morning. It's 6:40 in Shanghai, and Alice the Wag said Bruce Abernathy went home early to do this interview. Now, that is the biggest load of BS I've ever...
How could you go?
That is absolute go. Let's get him on. Abba, good morning.
True, it's true. I showed all responsible traits that you show when you're on the road.
Now, Abba, what we're keen to find out this morning is we saw the game. We know the game was good. Port Adelaide played well and they won. But you're on the ground there. What about the peripheral? What have you picked up that the Port Adelaide Football Club has gained out of this experience in Shanghai?
I'm travelling with them. It's the off-field stuff, the corporate stuff, the gala ball on the Saturday night. You just saw how many Chinese companies they had involved. And knowing the culture of the people over here, they really did play to it beautifully. It's all about face over here. And when you think about the money that and the people over here, Port Adelaide only needs 1% of the Chinese market, and it's going to absolutely hit it out of the park. Mm. So, you know, you talk about the volume. They've done fantastic things off the field here for them. And, of course, it would have meant nothing if they didn't win the game, and they did that basically in the second quarter. I don't think it was the greatest spectacle of Australian football, but the Port Adelaide fans who were here were happy. The Chinese fans who were here, I sort of looked on, didn't know when to cheer, but I had a couple of Chinese friends who went along, and a couple of my friends went along, and I asked them at dinner last night, what did you think? And they thought it was actually different. They enjoyed it. They didn't understand it, but they actually did enjoy it. So that's just a time thing.
And you think the sponsorships will come, Abba? I mean, there's been some talk of some good stuff already. And to get $4 million to break even shouldn't be underestimated as well. That's a huge amount of money for one game to ask some companies to stump up. So that's a first step. But you're saying there'll be Chinese companies that want to advertise in South Australia or Australia enough to tip millions of dollars in?
Absolutely, Roy. I think this year was... you had all the naysayers back there, you know, why would you go to China, et cetera, et cetera. But the break even this year, as I say, and I'm talking to Keith and Koshy, it's $4 million. They've broken even. That's fantastic.
That's huge.
But it's not about this year. It's about next year. They might say they get $2 million extra. Maybe the year after, $3 million. As you know, Ruth, that kind of sponsorship coming into a football club is invaluable. And if you're first here, good on you.
What about, that's Port Adelaide, what about the AFL? I know Gillon McLachlan was there. We saw him on TV yesterday. Any word on perhaps how the AFL as a whole can cash in on this?
Oh, I think they're 100% behind it. Someone described it to me like this: is the AFL were more than happy to see Port Adelaide be out there front, take the steps, and they were behind them, just more than happy being behind them. And they tended to get a bit closer behind them the more successful it got.
Don't worry.
100% behind them right now. So I think that's fantastic for the AFL. But that's only smart business, and good luck to them.
Yeah, because you could understand the Chinese wanting to advertise in Australia, probably more so maybe Melbourne and Sydney than Adelaide, and the AFL just hope they don't snatch any of the hard work you've done, Abba. But what was it like out the back? I saw there was a few empty seats in the stands. We know it was a sellout, but we know there was no booze in the seats, so everyone was out the back having a bit of fun, were they?
There were some empty seats. The stadium is obviously, the grandstands aren't built for AFL football, so they've got people all the way around. So they put in the 12,000 seats in the best areas. The empty parts you could see were actually set quite back from the boundary line. So yep. If you had to put people there in seats, it would have been unfair and they wouldn't have seen the whole ground anyway. So what you saw on TV, there were some empty seats. You're right. The Port Adelaide fans were there. They knew what happened at football. There were a lot of Chinese people there. There was a surprising degree of China media interest in it. I got asked to explain to the Chinese TV reporter in 1 minute how the game was played. You should try and do that one day. It's actually quite hard.
Get the ball and kick it through the sticks. That's the easiest one.
It's grass and sticks, exactly. Really, they complicate it these days, don't they? Yeah. So, it was very interesting. But, yeah, are you ever going to attract a 50,000 sellout? I don't think the Chinese are huge on this kind of sports anyway. Maybe English Premier League soccer if they put a game on or something like that. But reality is that the first Western sport to play a competition game here is AFL, and it's Port Adelaide, that mob from Queen Street, Alberton. So that's a feather in the cap.
Yeah, it is. All right, good on you, Abba. Thanks for joining us, and you'll see his reports on 7 News tonight.
Are you planning to come back, Abba, or are you staying there for good? What are you doing?
No, I've just got to my ice bath now because it's a game day afterwards, so I'm looking after myself.
of course. Good on you, Bruce Abernathy. As I said, you'll see him on Channel 7 tonight.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
I've made a few people giggle for the wrong reasons yesterday, saying that there's a law brought into Adelaide about a year ago saying that you can't have a fire in your backyard, either in a fire pit or a chimney or a brazier or whatever, unless you are cooking or preparing drinks, all right? You're not allowed to have an open fire, okay?
What?
That's the facts. If you, as long as you're having the fire to either eat or drink, it's okay. If not, you're not allowed to use wood in a fire in your backyard.
Why not?
You have to use charcoal. The EPA are policing it. I think it's really about smoke and, I guess, pollution to your neighbours. And it just reeks of just the normal garbage of modern times. It's just over the top, completely over the top.
So my little fire in my chimney or in the backyard is going to pollute the atmosphere,
is it? I think more the might go into your neighbour's window or, smoke out your neighbour or something like that. So
if we're cooking, it's okay.
But if you're cooking, it's okay. And
how does that change things?
Deemed it, well, some people might need a fire to cook, I suppose.
No, I know that, but it's still going to be the same pollution.
Oh, no, I know. It's ridiculous. That's what makes it so stupid. You need a permit to have a fire in your backyard now. So, but it's just ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, sitting around a fire is one of the great things you can do with your family. And that's why they've probably allowed you to, if you're cooking, because lots of parents like to do it with their kids, cook marshmallows and things like that, and that's why they've named this clause the marshmallow clause. It's just ridiculous, isn't it? But and look, not one single person over the last 12 months has been fined for it. It's a $300 on the spot fine if you get caught, mind you, but not one person's been done. But someone did complain and they went around there and that person is now using charcoal in their backyard. Imagine bringing around some mates, sitting around the backyard and looking at charcoal.
It's not the same.
Man,
not the
pathetic.
Same. Need to get a big log.
You need half a tree if you're going to have a decent fire.
And you know what? I'm glad it's this marshmallow thing's got me intrigued now, because I can see me sitting outside with the Lucky Kate getting some marshmallows going.
Yeah.
Next minute, a little bit of Savvy Blanc.
Yeah.
Next minute, hang on.
Yeah, that's what fire does to you. Right. It's, it just gets nice and cozy. You have to cuddle in, and it's that time of the year. So I was that's what we learned out of the Sunday Mail yesterday. Dits, don't have a fire in your backyard unless you're cooking. Right. Otherwise, you'll get fined $300.
I like it. I like this new rule now all of a sudden.
Do you?
Yeah, we won't be outside for too long.
Well, this is only the metro area. I don't know if it applies to you.
No, it definitely does. They're very strict in the hills on it. Okay. Yeah, you need to get them.
Just stock up your pantry full of marshmallows, everyone.
Yeah.
And just have a stick right near your fire.
And a bit of Sauv Blanc.
If you need a cuddle.
All right, I like it.
Get Ruin Dits for breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast Catch-Up at triplem.com.au.